The Transport Agency knew that Auckland Harbour Bridge operations had contaminated land next to houses at above permitted levels, but decided not to tell local people. It found high and rising levels of lead, zinc and a cancer-causing hydrocarbon at the bridge's north end in 2010. The agency's National Environment Manager at the time, Carl Reller, says it was covered up. Mr. Reller, who covered major highway projects from 2007 until he resigned in 2014, says the case shows the agency's tendency to disregard the public's right to know when it is in the gun.
The main contaminants were lead, benzopyrene, and there was also zinc and copper, but they were lower levels. Could be of environmental concern, but not for public health.
When you saw those numbers, what did you think?
I thought it wasn't surprising, really, considering how many cars go across that bridge. I looked at other parts of the highway and seen elevated levels of lead. These were the highest I'd seen. The unique thing there is that usually there's a setback from the houses, but in this case, the motorway is elevated and the houses are almost underneath.
So it wasn't surprising, but it was concerning.
Concerning, oh yeah, definitely concerning. Those are levels that might be acceptable in an industrial area, but not in a residence.
And the cause of it was partly the sandblasting and painting of the bridge itself.
Definitely, and also contributions from the traffic.
You set out to do something about it.
What I wanted to do is to find out if that contamination existed in the residential yards, and especially were there children in those yards, or daycare centers, because adults can take quite a bit of lead and rebound. But young children suffer permanent irreversible damage, and it would have been a very easy task to find that out and to take care of the problem. It wouldn't have cost hardly any money at all. It was a very simple thing to do, and it was the right thing to do.
And yet it didn't go ahead.
Not at all. It was completely kiboshed and hit on the head.
The documents support an account of your team trying over a period of about 2 years to do just that, to tell the locals.
There was a letter drafted, there were fact sheets written, there was consultation internally about how we'd go forward with this.
Does that ever happen?
No, it never happened.
Why not?
Because the people working on the project and in the region resisted engaging the public, even though their consent said that they were required to. I tried at least a half a dozen times to have a review by senior management, but every time it would be pulled off the agenda at the last minute. After getting it knocked back a half a dozen times, I just realized it wasn't going to go anywhere.
You were the National Environmental Manager. Do you feel that you didn't fulfill your responsibility to let those local people know?
I tried to explain that this was a small area. A dozen, maybe 20 houses could be affected. Probably only a couple houses would be enough to do something about it. And what senior managers told me, well, everyone is going to get upset everywhere, and they're all going to think they're contaminated. And I said, no, they aren't. We can deal with this. It's very discreet. And they didn't want to talk about it for fear that the general public would have concerns.
Do you think that was the wrong call?
Absolutely.
And is that the end of that, or is that contamination still going to be there?
It's definitely still there. Auckland Council went, and they remediated some of the pathways. So they thought it was important enough to do it on public lands, but nobody thought that the residents had to know what was going on.
And that was environmental engineer Carl Reller. Now, the Transport Agency says that Auckland Council, as the regulator, determines whether the public should be told about contamination. However, all of the documents from the time presume it is the agency's responsibility to go public. The council has been approached for comment.